glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. If you love horses, you're going to enjoy the program today as we learn about a unique way to involve horses in the healing of the soul. Meg Moksik is our guest from Unbridled Ranch. Welcome, Meg, to Mark and Friends.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
What a unique ministry. Now, our wonderful chairman of the board, Huey Freeman, found you for us. Yeah. He said, you have got to talk to this gal because she has such a unique way of using horses and all the love of horses to really reach people. How did this whole vision come about?
Back in 2020, you know, we were all shut in at home, and I came across the TIP program, which is Trainer Incentive Program with the Mustang Heritage Foundation. And it was in conjunction with the Bureau of Land Management Wild Horse and Burro Program. And so what it entailed was trainers that had been approved, they would take these wild Mustangs from out west and gentle them and prepare them for a domestic life. I came across that program like August, September of that year. This is absolutely what I've been waiting for all my life. I have loved horses since I can't even remember a day not loving them. And the old west has always intrigued me since I was a little girl. I thought, what a great way to incorporate both things. And the Lord has always given me a passion for horses. And I applied and was approved that fall and picked up my first TIP animals of 2021 after I built my facilities, because you've got to have 6-foot fences and all that to keep them in until they respect fencing and whatnot. It's been a way for me to reach people, not only through horses, but I've met so many people across the board, but people that are not believers, not followers of Christ, but still that I'm able to post God's word, you know, or pray for people. I've had people, you know, pour out their life story to me while searching for the perfect horse, their heart horse. And inadvertently, I've been able to pray with them. I've met other Christians through this. It's really been a unique way to share my faith, because I'm not a very outgoing person naturally as far as evangelism. I have a hard time just, you know, walking down the street and being like, do you know Jesus? Let me pray for you. But this has been a way that the Lord has been able to bring people into my life and allowed me to, you know, share my faith in a way that's a little bit easier for me, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, you're in your environment, you've got your horses next to you. I mean, you're comfortable, yeah. You've got a common interest, they love horses, you're rescuing these horses, and it's just such a beautiful environment in which to do so. You're located in Southern Illinois, so you'd had this facility, and then you used it more to incorporate the rescue ministry, right?
Correct. So originally, we started, my husband and I lived in Kentucky, just outside Louisville, in Taylorsville, Kentucky. And he took a remote position with his job, and we really felt the Lord calling us to Southern Illinois. My husband is from here, and I'm from Northeastern Ohio. And we prayed about the decision and felt him moving us here. And so in February of 22, we moved here and rebuilt facilities to be able to house the wild horses and burros as well. I've gentled one burro. But I'm 15 minutes from the BLM holding facility here in Illinois. It's the only BLM holding facility east of the Mississippi. So it's been pretty unique, a huge blessing that I'm 15 minutes from the facility. So I have not only had the opportunity to go and pick up horses more easily than, you know, a lot of the trainers, it's, you know, it's several hours to drive over here, or there's other storefronts. Before the backup, the TIP program was disbanded this past September in 2023. There's no longer funding for it. And up until that point, though, there were also storefronts. So horses would also be shipped to various points throughout the East Coast. There was one in Ohio, I think one of the Carolinas, down in Florida and Tennessee. So trainers could, have a little bit easier access, but the main BLM holding facility, the only one east of the Mississippi, is here in Ewing, which is 15 minutes from me. As I say, it's been easier for me to have access to the horses as opposed to a lot of the other trainers because I'm so close.
Now,
So.
because they discontinued this program, so now what's happening with all the little horses and the burros and such? Are they just now running wild again?
No, I mean, so the BLM is still managing the herds out west. I think there's like 170, 175, don't quite quote me on that. It's at least 170 different herd management areas. They call them HMAs out west. So they're still managing those. And there's several holding facilities that they, when the roundups, when the gathers happen, that these horses are, sent to, and they're well cared for. They're fed and their feet are trimmed and they receive vaccinations and that kind of thing. So it's not a terrible life. You know what I mean? They are well cared for. And the reason that these gathers happen is because of environmental issues like drought. There's not enough water. It looks like green, but if you've not actually walked out in the West, it's very deceiving. There, the plant life is very sparse out there. So they are still caring for them, and there's a lot of trainers like myself that we are still taking in. We are still going to the facility and picking up animals and gentling them. I specifically have been going and scouting, working with clients directly to match them up with horses. And then I bring the horse to my facility. And so when I gentle it, gentling requirements are to be able to catch it, halter it, be able to teach it to lead, pick up all 4 feet and pick them out, get them clean, ready for their first farrier visit. I will get their first dental visit done and then be able to groom them head to toe. I do also teach them to tie as well as load or send onto the trailer. So they're, well acclimated and ready to move on, in life and be able to be a domesticated horse.
Yeah, so you're kind of like an animal rescue, but it's on a larger scale with 2,000-pound animals, basically.
And so I, like I said, I have really started specializing in matching these animals up with their individual adopters, because it's, if you don't know what you're looking for, and even if you've had domestic equine experience, it's totally different working with a wild. They are amazing creatures. They are so much more intuitive than our domestic horses. I love my domestics and I have some. I have three domestics and I have three wilds. But they, you need to know what you're looking for so that we can find you the right personality
Yeah,
to
kind of like
match
with
up with what you're
dogs.
going to do.
You know, you don't want
Yes.
a collie dog if or you don't want a shepherd dog if you don't want to be shepherded, you know, you don't want to be rounded up every day. So you have to
Right.
make that perfect match. Now, we have this
Yes.
vision of, you know, they call it breaking horses in the movies, and we see someone with a whip and they've got this horse and they're just banging on it. So gentling, I bet your system is a bit different.
Yes, I very much that is. I want these horses to come alongside me and connect with me and have a partnership with me, a relationship with me. I am not going to force an animal. And sometimes I'll be honest, I'll be genuinely honest. There are some wilds that they would rather be wild, and that's okay. But most of them really take to domestic life and love it. They become a creature. They like their creature comfort. They like their stall and they like their fresh bucket of water and they like cookies and treats. But I want to ask that animal to come alongside me. I want them to partner with me. I want them to be willing to be with me. I want them to want to be with me. I mean, you can, I guess, if you want to force, a 1,200-pound animal, but I'm not that big of a person. So physically speaking, but also that creates an animal that is fearful and not trusting. And if you don't have trust, I mean, that's the key building block in my program. And that horse has to trust me before it's going to do anything else. And once it trusts me, it'll do anything I ask it. It's going to get on that trailer that seems like a large dark box. It's going to let me pick up its feet, which is its getaway, right? Because they're a flight, they're not a fight animal, right? So giving up its feet for me to be able to, clean its hoof out and have it worked on by the farrier, that's a big deal.
There's so many connections between you and the way you're treating this horse and the way that God treats us. You know, he invites us into his sheepfold, or, you know, his barn. And we're wild, really. We're born into this world wild, without a shepherd,
yes,
without someone to care for us. And he just gently coaxes us and to say, I can meet your needs. You know, here's fresh water. Here's fresh hay. Here's a warm environment. You don't have to be afraid of predators. And he just woos us to himself. And you're right. We cannot be forced. Take us to your ranch, Meg. And if you wouldn't mind letting us in on some of these conversations that you've had with some of the people that have come by. Anything stick out in your mind?
So there was a fellow this past year. He was a veteran, and he lives probably about an hour and a half from me. He reached out. He ended up with two wilds inadvertently. He got them from someone else. But so let me back up. Once a horse is adopted from the Bureau of Land Management, after 1 year, they do an inspection. They will check up on the animal prior to that. But at the 1 year mark, you will have an inspection with your veterinarian, and they will sign off that the horse has been well taken care of and in good condition, and you will receive a title. And that animal is no longer government property, is now private property. Okay, so he inadvertently ended up with two Mustangs that were still wild, but they were private property. So they can't be returned to the facility, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he rescued these two. It was a mare and foal, and he had some horse experience, but again, like I said, domestic equine versus wild equine, totally different. There's a huge learning curve there. And so I spent a lot of time with him, you know, just back and forth texting, like, okay, how are you doing? Are you able to get close to her? Here's how to approach her. You know, here's some thoughts on how to halter her, how to get her to pick her feet up, and, you know, working with baby. And along the way, found out that also he too was a Christian and was able to, you know, pray for him. And he had some struggles going on in life as well. And it's been such a blessing to meet these people where they're at on their road in life and pray for them. Because I've also had people that aren't Christians, but they know that I am, and they know that I will pray.
Yeah.
And sometimes those people, you know, like, I've gotten to know them fairly well, and there's that wall, right? They don't really want to talk about it. But when something's wrong, I'll get that text. Hey, will you pray for this?
Wow.
Hey, will you pray for that? And again, I'm not a forceful person. I'm not the one that's going to tell everybody, you know, accept Christ, or, you know, you're going to spend eternity in hell, because that's truly the option. But that, to me, is not the way to win people over. You know, you can't, again, like you said, the Lord gives us free will, and he wants us to choose him. And I can't force them. Only God can work on their heart. And so those little things of people reaching out, hey, will you pray for this? Hey, will you pray for that? Just because of our connection through the Mustangs, through the horses, has just been such a blessing. You know, and people that he's brought into my life that I had. So my first year of TIP, there was a gal. She's actually a pretty big deal on Instagram. And I was like, you're talking, you really want me to gentle your horses? Like, you know what I mean? I'm not usually like starstruck or anything. But I was like, I'm just some nobody. You know, how did you even find me? But she drove 4 hours to my house, and we drove, I don't know, 6-7 hours down to Tennessee and picked out her two horses. And she came and stayed the night at my house. You know, we found that we were sisters in Christ prior conversation, but never had met. Drove to my house, stayed the night, got up at like 2 a.m. and drove to Tennessee, and have been bonded ever since.
Oh.
She has 6 kiddos, eight kiddos. So, you know, she's a very busy mama. But we, again, just such an encouragement. Watching her, she homeschools and does all the things. And I'm like, that's amazing. Cause I was kind of in the middle of homeschooling our kids when we were in Kentucky at that point. You know, just bringing people together. I'm not one that's ever easily found close friends, that, like, you know, in your circle. right?
Yeah.
And the Lord has really given me a close family of people through this, and it's been amazing.
That is amazing. Wow, that God uses these wonderful creatures as horses to connect us. But I feel there's so many jumping off points here, Meg, for other people, who perhaps don't feel that they're outgoing. Maybe they're more introverts. Maybe their season of life just doesn't put them in a big circle. Maybe they're going to church, but don't feel that they are connecting with people. Well, I really feel like your prayer point could be the starting point. If you see someone or they're sharing something with you, then you just say, "Can I pray for you?"
Absolutely.
And just say, or even approach people and say, "Hey, is there anything I can pray for you about?" And that is a huge connection. That's on a spiritual soul level when they're entrusting to us. Once again, there's that word trust. With the horse, you've got to build the trust before they allow you into their close inner circle. And so, don't you feel that just asking someone, "Can I pray for you?" It begins that building of the trust.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like I said, even people that are closed off to wanting to, if you invited them to church or said, "Hey, do you know who Jesus is?" I don't know why, but people are closed off to that. But absolutely, when you say, "Hey, can I pray for you?" or they share some kind of, I've had a lot of people share illnesses with me, either with themselves or with a family member. And when you say, "Hey, can I pray for you?" and if I feel open, and I feel like they're open to it and I feel led, sometimes I will pray with them right then and there on the phone. And if I'm having a phone, it's not often I'm on the phone, but there's a fair amount of conversations that are on the phone and not just via text. It is such a connecting experience, and I feel like it brings people's guards down and allows the Lord the opportunity to, the Holy Spirit to work for those seeds to be planted, even if it is just a small mustard seed. It's life changing for that person, whether it's then or it's a seed planted down the road. It makes a difference because I think people feel so uncared for in this world because we're so disconnected because of the electronic world that we live in. Everybody just wants the message. And I find myself being like, "Hey, can you talk? Hey, can you talk?" instead of texting out an entire book. I'm like, I want to connect with you.
Yeah.
I want to hear your voice.
I'm in that same zone, Meg. Absolutely. I'm a caller. And not that I'll keep you on the phone forever.
No.
I just would rather hear your voice, connect. I know my boundaries. I'll let you go after 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, but it's been such an amazing journey. One of the most recent ones, I had a mom of two reach out to me on one of the Facebook. So there's lots of Mustang pages for those that are interested. If you get out there and search, there's all kinds of Mustang Facebook pages where you can join the community and ask questions. It's a really great group of people. There was a mom, she messaged me and said, "I was told that you were the one to help me," and she has extreme allergies. She can't have a horse, but she found out that they make curlies, which obviously the Lord made the curlies, but they're hypoallergenic, like a poodle would be.
No kidding. There's hypoallergenic horses.
And they're fairly rare as far as the Mustangs are concerned, but her daughter, like me, is just ate up with horses and insistent, like, "I really want a horse, Mama." And so she reached out to me and we, started. I was like, "Okay, I'll start looking all the things." Well, lo and behold, the Lord answered prayer. And I said, "Hey, I think there's going to be one at this event." And so we met. She lives in East Tennessee. We've never met before, just talked on the phone a couple of times. We met at 5 a.m. at this event, her and her husband and two kids. It's freezing cold. And they ended up, it wasn't the horse. We went there for one horse, but there ended up being another one. And that's the one that the Lord gave them. And that is such a, can I dive off for
Oh,
just a minute for a rabbit trail and all of that? Is
take
that
it.
okay? So the event, a lot of times it's first come, first serve. So we got there at 5 a.m. Like I said, there was one truck ahead of us. And you'll see if you go back on my page, there's a live. And one of my followers that I didn't know was following me from Michigan at that point, she was the gal in the truck. Well, she also was there for the curly. And so she saw me on social media, was like, oh my gosh, she's like, because I made the comment on my live that, oh, we're here at 5 a.m., but there's one person ahead of us or whatever. She's like, oh my gosh, and that was me. And we are good friends now as well, inadvertently because of this. But so she ended up with the first curly, and I may or may not have tried to slightly talk her out of it. I mean, because there was another horse there that I thought would be a really great fit for her, because I knew the family that I was there with really needed the curly.
Yeah.
But anyways, there ended up being another partial curly there. And so they ended up with that one. And long story short, so I've been showing my competition Mustang that I'll be showing in Fort Worth later this year, up in some Michigan Mustang shows. And we ran into each other at the last show, the one that got the first curly. And we just had the best laugh about the whole thing. And this horse has been super spicy, but she trains or used to train police dogs like Belgian Malinois, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So she fully has the capability to train a horse that's a little more energetic and has a few thoughts on life. And she's turning into an excellent horse. But for the other family that I was there with, it would not have been a great first horse, a great first Mustang for them,
Yeah.
because it was for the 12-year-old daughter. And, we needed something that was going to be sweet. And so it was so amazing because we ended up at the end of that event, the mom and I were just like, hey, this is the Lord's will. Like, we really wanted this other horse, but obviously, this is the horse the Lord had for us. We're just going to trust and go with it. Well, now we're a few months past. That was back in March, I think. That horse has been amazing. The little girl is now got him saddled and is starting to ride. And if she'd gotten the other horse, it just could have gone completely the other way. And
Yeah.
so it's so neat to see God's full circle on that he knew exactly which horse each of those people needed. And I love them both dearly. They're both sisters in Christ.
We're talking with Meg Moksik of Unbridled Ranch. And Meg, if people are interested in your ministry and what you are doing with these horses, how can they contact you?
I am on Facebook and on Instagram. Just put in Unbridled Ranch and I should pop up. And it's just the plain white background with a little horse outline.
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.